from St. Luke chapter 12. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Did you get it? Did it finally sink in? Right? When I was growing up, for his mercy endures, for his love endures forever, right? Again and again. And just in case you missed it, the psalmist wants to tell us that again. Sounds and smells trigger all kinds of memories. I know that because when we sing particular songs, all of a sudden, my tears well up. An emotion is stirred within me. Or maybe it's a smell, something baking and cooking, and a memory is triggered. They rouse us, they cause our emotions to be stirred, and they unlock our imaginations. That's what sounds and smells do. And so the writer of this Psalm 136 reminds us again and again, it's the love of God that endures forever so that our memories may be triggered. So is it true that God's love endures forever? Can you look at your life today, whatever condition you are in, situation you are in, can you look at your life and say, God's love endures forever? Oh, give thanks. This psalm triggers this memory in me. Every meal that we ate at home growing up, there was always seven of us at the table. Four siblings, my mom and dad, and my uncle. At one point, my uncle lived with us for years. And then he died. And then my youngest sister was born. So there was always seven of us at the table. Meal was always a time in which my mom put together whatever we had, I have to admit. Now in Minnesota we call them hot dishes, but we grew up calling them casseroles. I hated casseroles. But it was my mom's way of making a lot or with a little to go a long way. We would argue at the table, we would laugh at the table, we would cry at the table, but before we could leave the table, before we just got out of our seat and left, which happens too often maybe today, we had to end our meal with this prayer. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. Is it something that's naive for us to even say? Is it simplistic? Could critics call us just somehow people who just don't get it? My brother early on would say to me, "You don't work in the real world, you work in the church." For all these years, I would say back to him, and I have said to him, let me tell you about this real world of ours. Is the psalmist just somehow just trying to get us to think in such simplistic ways, but doesn't really speak to the reality of this world? Does somehow the psalmist ignore the pain, the unknown, the unwanted, the failures of life, and can simply say over and over again, God's steadfast love endures forever, no matter what? My uncle died when I was in, I think, fourth or fifth grade. I remember the family gathering in our living room, sitting off in the chair off on the side. And my dad had 13 brothers and sisters, so there were a lot of relatives. And then working in the church, a lot of people came by the house to offer their condolences. People cried strong and hard. People hugged. And I just watched as an observer as people came one after another and expressed their loss of pain. And yet we prayed every night, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. When I was in middle school, one of my classmates, one of the members of the congregation, was abducted or just drowned. Parents lived for weeks and months and years without knowing which one it was. All kinds of rumors. We were on an outing, a school outing, to the Indiana sand dunes, and all of a sudden she wasn't around. And yet at night we prayed, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. My grandparents died. My grandfather was my godfather. He was a principal of a German Lutheran school in Racine, Wisconsin. He was stern. He was sometimes unapproachable. I wasn't ever sure if he was angry or happy. I could never tell. But somehow he had every once in a while a gentleness that allowed me to sit on his lap, and he told me stories. And he died, and I was a pallbearer at his funeral, and still we prayed, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy, his love endures forever. And then there were moments that, and there seemed to be quite a few of those moments when I was growing up, people telling me what I had done, what was wrong. And I felt guilty. Or at least I was told I should feel guilty. And then looking back at all those things that I didn't do, that somehow I didn't accomplish, and the shame that went with that, not producing or doing what one was expected to do by others. And we prayed, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We said this prayer every night, no matter what happened in the day. That's the psalmist reminding all of us of what life is really like. You see, if you look at what the psalmist raised up in between that refrain, that repetitive refrain, he was telling a story in shorthand. He was telling the story of creation. And if you read Genesis, it wasn't a creation that was just nice and soft and fluffy. It was chaotic and evil. And then it became ordered. God did that, the psalmist said. And let's talk about slavery, being trapped in slavery for all those years, brutalized, terrorized. You weren't just a second-class citizen. You were no citizen at all. Those were the good old days of being held captive. And then they were let free. It's something they rejoiced, but then they got caught in this in-between, this thing called the wilderness. This wasn't a cakewalk, folks. This was filled with terror and unknown and rejection and wonderment of whether they would live or die. Through all that, those stories of history, the psalmist dares say, said over and over again, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And then at the bottom part of that song, that struggle with entering into a new land, and all at the bottom of that comes to us, to our story of life. When the psalmist says, when we were weak, or when we were valueless, when we had no worth at all, when we were left with such an emptiness, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for God's love endures forever. At every moment, at every expression of the real life, the psalmist reminds each and every one of us that God engaged in that life of pain and failure and suffering and uncertainty, and God's love was never lost. I think that's what finally St. Paul made known to us all when he writes to the Romans. And this is a St. Paul who was in a lot of shipwrecks and a lot of jails and a lot of beatings. And he said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We were asked last week by Pastor Julie to listen to God's voice. This week the psalmist is saying, can we remember even when our life is brutalized and left in full wonderment? Can we remember God's love is still present, holding us in God's mercy? The psalmist just doesn't let go of that memory and calls us into that same memory today. That's what Luke testified to us as we heard Jesus speak. Because ultimately, I think this psalm brings us to that Jesus who becomes God's expression. Remember, I will be with you always. My steadfast love forever. It's in this Jesus that we are able to come as people who have not done and have done things that we should not have done, and yet God says, I forgive you, take and eat and drink. It's this Jesus who invites us again into a life that says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you, really. My love endures forever. And it's this Jesus who stands at even our bedsides in hospitals and intensive care units and cemeteries and says, I will be there too. I will be there as well, providing for you what you need and giving you that love that lasts forever. That's what the psalmist is declaring for us today. We're going to sing a song that many of you probably don't know. I've sung it for a lot of years. Some people call it the Black National Anthem, because you will hear the struggle of life that came out of that history. But I think it's our song as well when we begin to be honest with ourselves, to understand that our lives too are real in their struggles. Listen to how the songwriter wants to remind us what the songwriter said, that God's love never stops, it endures forever. Amen.